Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, I said that Scripture often shares and compares God's church as a house, and God is building a house. He is building His church. And it is built on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is built around the cornerstone of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God is a grand designer with elaborate dreams and visions for His house. And He is constantly adding on to His house, making room for more and more people. And He's also a creative builder because His house is built out of unique material. Peter says His house is built out of living stones. The house of God is built out of people. The house of God is built with people. And as we become a part of God's house, we get connected to God, and it's vital that we be connected to each other. And so as we talk about a blueprint for discipleship this week, I want us to focus on being connected. Well, we talk a lot about being disciples who are making disciples. And as we go through this series on a blueprint for discipleship, I hope that you will think about it in both of those ways. Because before we can make disciples, we are disciples. And we want to take very seriously our following Jesus and following the blueprint that God has left us for being disciples and also for making disciples. And God has left us a blueprint, and we're wise to follow the blueprint that He leaves to us, because He is the master builder. And this is a blueprint that Jesus used, that Jesus taught, that Jesus showed His disciples after He left and went away. As we read in Scripture a few minutes ago, they went about doing what Jesus had done with them. They went about making disciples and doing the same kinds of things that He had done, and doing it in the same ways that He had done. And as they established the church, or as God established the church, but as they brought disciples into the church in Jerusalem, we see that they did these very things, and that was true all over the world, and it's still true today. And again, it's something that we can use for ourselves to grow as a disciple, and something that we can use as we take seriously and take steps to make others into disciples of Jesus. And the first part of the blueprint is that we share the message of Jesus. We share the name of Jesus, and we do that in all kinds of ways. We do that through preaching, we do that through teaching, but we also do it through our conversations, and we do it through Discovery Bible studies, and we do it in so many ways, some more formal, some informal. But I hope that we find ways, and there are tools that you can use if you're interested in them. Come and talk to me about that. But there are tools you can use just to be very natural in sharing Jesus. Jesus did it with His words. He also did it with His works. And you can do it in both of those ways as well. And then as people respond to that message, as people are interested in Jesus, as they begin to take steps toward Jesus and begin to follow Him, the next part of the blueprint is what we want to talk about today. And that is that we need to connect them. As disciples, we need to be connected. And as we make disciples, we need to connect them. Connect them. And we're going to talk about some very practical ways, really three ways, that all of us need to be connected. Again, for us individually, as we grow, we need to keep these connections strong. And as we bring folks into following Jesus, we need to make sure that we plug them in to these connections. And if you want to write these down on your outline looks a little different today. I like that outline. There's a lot of different ways for you to relate and correspond and interact with the sermon on that outline. But if you want to write these three things down, this is the heart of our message this morning. Disciples need to be connected to the Word of God. Disciples need to be connected to the Word of God. Disciples need to be connected to the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. And disciples need to be connected to the people of God. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the people of God. Those are all vital connections that God uses part of his blueprint for building his house, part of his blueprint for you as a living stone in his house, part of his blueprint for those who would come into the house, they need to be connected. We need to be connected to God's Word, to God's Spirit, and to God's people. And when you think later, what was that message about? What was Ken talking about today? You can say, I need to be connected to the Word of God. I need to be connected to the Spirit of God. And I need to be connected to the people of God. You are smart. A reality about all of those connections, and a reality about being connected, is that it is built on and it is based on relationships. Relationships are the vehicle that God uses to bring about real change in people's lives. That's another sentence you can remember today, because I'm going to say it multiple times. Because being connected is about relationships. And relationships is the vehicle that God uses to bring real change into someone's life. And part of being a disciple is that as we follow Jesus, we are being changed by Jesus. We're being changed by our relationship with Him. We're being changed by our relationship with the Word of God, and our relationship with the Spirit of God, and our relationship with the people of God. Relationships are the vehicle that God uses to bring real change into people's lives. And we see that in Jesus' ministry. We could go through a lot of different people and ways that Jesus invested in relationships. It's really where He spent the vast majority of His time, was in relationships. And honestly, in a way that I find a little odd as the one who was going to come and change the world, but it was His blueprint and it has proven to work, He spent most of His time in relationships with very few people. He invested in those few people. He had some relationships with 70 or 72 folks that He sent out, came back and reported and continued to grow in their relationship with Jesus. But then out of that group, He had a group of 12 that He spent a lot of time with, that He invested with. And it was about relationships with them. And then even inside that group, He had 3 who He spent even more time with. And so Jesus showed us that the way people are changed and the way that they follow Him and the way they stay connected to Him is really when we focus our relationships. And we don't have to broadcast. We don't have to reach the masses. All we have to do is have some relationships with a few people that are centered on Jesus Christ, that we are and they are connected to the Word and to the Spirit and to the people of God. But we need to be really honest with ourselves. If we're going to do this, it's going to take time. If I'm going to be a disciple who is making disciples, if you are going to be a disciple who is making disciples, it is going to require your time. There's no other way around it, because relationships never happen outside of spending time together. There's no other way for a relationship to happen except that we spend some time together. So if we're going to be disciples who are making disciples, it's going to mean that some of the time that we are very used to using on ourselves, and not in bad ways, in good ways, but some of the time that we use on ourselves, we're going to have to use on other people. We're going to have to spend some time with some other people. And we're going to have to redeem our time. That's a phrase in Scripture, that we need to redeem the time. We're going to have to redeem our time. And some of the time that I spend on me, doing things I like to do, I'm going to have to spend with other people. Now, the great thing about this is, as we go along making disciples, Jesus modeled for us that we just do it as we go along. And so I can redeem the time by just bringing someone along with me as I do some of the things that I normally do. How many of you eat at least twice a day? Oh, come on now. All of you eat at least twice a day. Most of us eat more than that. I can redeem that time and I can bring someone along. That's a way I can build a relationship with somebody else and I can help them follow Jesus, is to eat with them. Or if you have a hobby, I'm telling you, Mark McGuffin is great at this, and someday I'm going to do a sermon on Mark McGuffin. But if you have a hobby, one of the best ways you can disciple someone is to bring them along, and y'all enjoy that together. And along the way, you find ways to connect to Jesus and to the Word and the Spirit and the people. And we can go on and on. I just want to say up front, we got to be realistic about this. If we're going to be disciples who are making disciples, it's going to require that we redeem some of our time. And I'm not saying it has to be all your minutes of every one of your days, but some of your hours of every one of your weeks can be spent building these kinds of relationships. Because relationships are the vehicle that God uses to bring real change into people's lives. So if you decide you're going to take some of this time, if you're going to repurpose some of your time, let's talk about these three vital connections and ways that you can be connected and that you can help connect other people. And the first one is that we need to be connected to the Word of God. I read somewhere this week that one of the things that happen or that should happen in discipleship, one of the things that should happen as we spend time in the Word and with the Spirit and with each other, is that what we have heard from the world gets replaced by what we hear from Jesus. That's part of what being a disciple is all about. As we walk with the Lord and as we walk with each other, God is replacing what we are hearing from the world with what He is saying to us. And as we are bringing someone along who has not known Jesus before, they've heard a lot of stuff from the world that they're living out. We need to be patient with them and compassionate with them and walk along with them and connect them to the Word and to the Spirit and to people so that what they have heard and learned can be replaced by what they hear and learn from God, from Jesus, from His Word. But just hearing it isn't enough. Obeying it is what Jesus is looking for. In the Great Commission, it's what He teaches us, that we are to go out and teach people to obey everything that He has taught. So when we get connected to the Word, it is so good that you get information and that you memorize some things and that you know some things. But what Jesus is really wanting in His disciples are people who are obeying His Word. And so when we connect, we need to be obedient and we need to help other people not just learn for information, but learn for obedience. And that's what Jesus said at the end of His great sermon. He taught. He imparted information. That Sermon on the Mount is a brilliant sermon. But at the end of it, He said, the person who is going to be blessed is not the person who hears my sermon. The person who is going to be blessed is the person who does what I say in my sermon. The blessing comes from obedience. That's what Jesus said at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. It's what He said over and over and over in John chapter 14 and 15. John chapter 14 and 15 are some of these last words that Jesus spoke to His disciples on the night that He was betrayed. And He speaks a lot that night. His last words, as He's just pouring into these guys, one of the things He speaks over and over and over is this idea of being obedient to the Word of God. And He says it in multiple ways in chapter 14. He says, if you love me, and just imagine Jesus looking at them and saying this. Just imagine Jesus looking at you and saying this. If you love me, you will obey me. If you love me, you will keep my commands. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. He who does not love me will not obey me. That's what Jesus said to them that night. And then as we read on in chapter 15, Jesus just enumerates the many, many blessings that come from obedience. And He's very clear about this. He connects obedience to these blessings, not just knowing Him, not just giving Him lip service, but obeying Him. When we obey, here are some of the blessings that Jesus promises. He says the Holy Spirit will be with us and He will be in us when we obey what Jesus teaches. He says we will never, ever be abandoned when we're obeying. He says that we will be able to see Jesus even when the world can't see Him. Obedience does something to open our eyes that just knowledge can't do. He says we will live because Jesus lives. We will be loved by Jesus. He will show himself to us. These are all in chapter 14 and 15. He says, when we are obeying, when we are living in obedience, we are abiding and remaining in him and following him in obedience. He says, the Father is going to love us. The Father and the Son are going to make their home in us. The Holy Spirit is going to be in us and teach us and remind us. And we're going to be people who bear fruit. But there's more. He says that when we connect to the Word of God and we obey Jesus, we obey what we hear and learn, he says your prayers are going to be answered, that Christ's joy is going to be complete in you. He says that you will be my friend. One of the ways that we become friends of Jesus is to do what he says, to walk in obedience. And he says that when you pray, whatever you ask in his name, God's going to do. Because of obedience. And so we must be connected, and we must be connecting people to the Word of God in such a way that leads us and them to do what it says, to be obedient. And it's a transforming kind of thing. And I want you to hear the connection and see the connection, the close connection between the Word of God and the Spirit of God, because that's the second thing we want to be connected to, is the Spirit of God. We all desperately need the Spirit of God to be ever more present and active in our lives as we walk and follow Jesus. Because the reality is, I cannot do this without him. You cannot do this without him. You cannot follow Jesus without the Spirit. I think the Bible makes a pretty clear case that it just can't be done. Not a one of us have the willpower and the knowledge and every other thing that we need, the power and the... Not a one of us have enough of that to be pleasing to God, to follow him the way he wants us to follow him, to experience the life that he has for us. And so he is so good. He has sent us his Spirit. He's going to help us do what he's calling us to do. Isn't that a good parent? He's going to empower us to do what he has charged us to do. And so we have got to be connected to the Holy Spirit of God. Because apart from him, we can do nothing, but we do have a part. And here's our part. And it's Bible language. We need to cooperate with the Spirit. That's a good word. That's what Jesus asked us to do. He says, here's the things I want you to do. If you love me, you're going to do them. I'm going to help you do them by giving you the Spirit, and I want you to cooperate with him as he helps you do what I've told you to do. We cooperate with the Spirit. And if we cooperate with somebody, all that means is we just join with them. We connect with them. We go alongside them, and we work together toward a common goal or a common purpose. I want to use an airplane analogy here, and I've told my pilots and aviators in the room to let me know if I get this wrong, but I think it will hold up. If you're a pilot, you've done a lot of training. You know a lot of stuff, and you obey it. You do it. You follow the rules because they're there for a reason. And you've got a lot of experience and a lot of practice. And you know all the charts and manuals and checklists. And you're ready to fly the plane. And it is your job to fly the plane. Nobody else is going to fly the plane for you. But if you want to get in the air, which is the point of flying, I don't know anybody who gets their license so they can taxi. If you want to get in the air, you have got to cooperate with the air traffic controller, because he is the ruler of the air, or she is the ruler of the air. And there's a reason he or she is, because you know your plane and you know what's in front of you, and you probably know a little bit more than that, but they have a much bigger view, don't they? They know a whole lot more that's going on. And so if you want to get into the air, you got to cooperate with the air traffic controller. And the same is true for us as we walk as disciples. I'm responsible for me. I'm responsible for my discipleship. And I want to fly as the disciple. But to do it, I got to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. He knows so much more than me. He's going to help me. He's going to tell me the right things. If I don't listen to him, I'll get in the air. And I'll get to where I'm trying to go. And so we got to connect ourselves, and we got to help other people be connected to the Holy Spirit of God who has been given to us. But that leads to one more connection that it's just as important. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the people of God. As we read Scripture, as we learn about Jesus, as we learn about discipleship, as we learn about the commands that Jesus gave consistently over and over and over, it matches the shape of the cross. And what I mean by that today is there is a vertical aspect to our relationship as a disciple, and there is a horizontal aspect. And we are connected vertically to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God, but it's not complete if we're not connected to the people of God. And honestly, we're having to learn that in a whole new way right now. But it hasn't changed the absolute vital importance of finding a way to be connected to the people of God. Because it's with the people of God that we flesh out what we are learning in our connection with to the Word and to the Spirit. It's one thing to be isolated and a hermit and know everything about God and have an incredible relationship with God. It's a whole other thing to live it out. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants us to live it out. And we do that with people. And we learn how to be a Christian with other people. Because the reality is, you put me to the test. You're supposed to laugh right there, folks. I put you to the test. You put each other to the test. As we rub up against each other and live life together, we have to learn to put into practice all these things that we're obeying that Jesus has taught us. And they can all be summed up in one word. And you know what it is. It's love. That's what Jesus is looking for. Jesus said, and then Paul said both, the whole law and the prophets, they're all summed up in loving God vertical and loving each other horizontal. And the way that we know we love God, it also says in Scripture, is whether we're loving each other. And so we need each other. We need each other to encourage each other, to spur each other on, to hold each other accountable. I need you to speak into my life when I need somebody to speak into my life. I need you to help carry my burden, and I can help you carry your burden. So being a disciple, we've got to be connected to the people of God. Let me give you another analogy. We talked about flying. We'll give an analogy about bike riding. And I don't do either one of these things. So I may be completely wrong about these analogies, but I've asked people who do, and they say I'm on the right track here. If I'm going to ride my bike, unless it's a tandem bike, and there are not many of those around, it's something I do by myself, right? Nobody else can power my bike. I'm going to be the one who pedals my bike and steers my bike and gets where I'm going on my bike. But all the people I have ever known who rode in the Triple H bike ride have done it on a team. And honestly, to me, that's a little confusing because it looks like bike riding is a pretty solitary activity, but I learned that it's not. That the folks who ride that 100 miles want to do so as part of a team. Why? Why do I need a team to help me pedal my bike and steer my bike? Because the reality is we need people. It's the way God's wired us. It's the way He's built everything around this reality. We need to be connected to people. Because that team of bike riders, man, they encourage you. They spur you on. They build you up. When you're getting tired and you don't know that you can make another mile because you got somebody who's riding beside you, it gives you power and energy that you just do not have on your own. And those other folks can see things on your bike you can't see, and they can let you know that something may be in trouble or something may be going wrong. And the other great thing they can do is you can all take turns being in the lead, meeting the most resistance, so that the rest of you, and I learned from John the right term from this, the rest of you can follow the draft. And it just helps you a little bit. And then when the guy out front gets tired, somebody takes his place. We need people. We need people as disciples. It's not something that we are called to do by ourselves. Something we're called to do with each other. Okay. What's this sermon about, folks? Being connected to what? The Word of God? Being connected to the Spirit of God and being connected to the people of God. I want it to be as practical as we can make it. I want this being disciples who are making disciples to be something that every single one of us can do. But first it starts with us being a disciple, connecting to the Word and to the Spirit and to the people, bringing other folks along, connecting them to the Word and the Spirit and the people. We're looking for more and better ways for that to happen in the time in which we are living. And we'll give you a lot more information, but we're looking to create some house churches. Some safe ways, small groups, people who feel like they can be a part of these house churches. It may be that you get together with other folks and you watch this service and take communion together. There's something about communion, even in the Word, that we commune with God and we commune with other people when we do that. Have some Bible study where we learn to obey what we're talking about, pray for each other. Those are vital connections that we're missing right now. We're looking for ways to put those into place. And so as you hear more about that, I hope you'll be praying about your part in that. If you're somebody who comes here on Sunday morning, you can still benefit from a house church in the week. And we're going to build into those house churches some discipleship components, some discipleship DNA that we can do and we can do together. I love you so much. I'm so thankful for you. I want you to know how much God loves you. Again, I read this week, you know who Eugene Peterson is? Christian writer and author. He's the man who created The Message. Not a version of the Scripture, but a translation of the Scripture. That's very meaningful. His son wrote about him, tongue in cheek. And he said, "Dad, you've fooled people for 50 years. You've got up and you've preached and you've taught. And you've made people think that every time you had something new to say. And you never said anything new. You just said the same thing over and over and over. Dad, you've had one message your whole life. And that is that God loves you. And he is pursuing you. And he wants you to be with him." I think that's a pretty good message. I think I'll spend the rest of my life sharing that message. How about you?